Blog Talk Radio.
Our scripture reading tonight is going to start in the book of Philippians. We're going to be in chapter 3, starting at verse 7, reading through 11. And it reads, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." 11 says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Become like him in his death, so that however and somehow to obtain to the resurrection from his death." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your reading. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for gathering together one more night. Thank you for just being in the midst of us. You said wherever two or three of us gather together, you're right there in the midst. And we just thank you for your presence. And we just ask that you just accept our invitation to just come in and just be with us, Jesus, and show us what it is that you would have for us to learn tonight in your Bible study, in your word. So it would propel us forward as we go into another day, and we just thank you for another night, and we just decrease right now and may you increase in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day, and just be in the presence of everyone out there. How's everyone doing? How's life been for you today? I pray that you were able to get up this morning and get started. And get started with a smile and get started with just asking the Lord to just direct you and live through you today. Amen. Also, we had spoke about surrendering, just having that surrendering spirit. And I know that surrendering doesn't seem like a good way for us to advance forward or to get anywhere by surrendering. Most of the time if we surrender, we just give up, and it's not like we're going to be moving forward. But in reality, we just felt that we're just handing over the controls to God when we surrender. We're just handing over the controls to God. And by doing that, we're actually saying, "You got me where you want me to go." Hallelujah. So by doing that, we're taking ourselves out of the driver's seat. And we're allowing him to take the steering wheel. So we're not just going to go head first and say, "I'm just going to go here, go there, and then, you know, I just pray my way up out of it. I would just repent on my sins." But it's actually set a little bit more deeper than that. It's bringing a relationship. We're getting communion together with him. Amen? So by surrendering, we actually just handing over the controls to God and just letting him guide us and let him speak through us and live through us. And by doing so, it does require a lot of trust. We spoke about just the trust that we have to have, because we do serve a God who is worthy of our faith. He's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our confidence. Amen? We were also talking about last evening, just talking about how with Gideon being a meek man, Gideon being a person that considered himself to be a weak and weak towards in comparison to other people. But God used him. He used him, and he used him in a way that only God can. That when Gideon was called to go fight against the Philistines, he said, well, he gathered up as many men as he could. As a matter of fact, he actually had an army of about 32,000 people. And God dwindled it down to like 300 men. Can you imagine? So Gideon has to trust in the Lord. He's not going to be able to trust in the ones that he's gathered up around him. Amen? And so are we. We have to make sure that we are trusting in God. And then lastly, we did speak about also then why Christians seem to fail so often and why we seem to give into temptation to sin. You know, we said, can you live with sin? Can you get away with your sins? And we spoke about that you can no longer get away with sins no more than you can plant an apple seed and get watermelons, okay? So you, whatever sins that it is that you're waddling in and living in and getting up every day and preparing yourself to go and just have fun and in your sin, you know, there is a price to that. So we cannot get away with our sin. There is a price to our sin. And so some of the reasons that we spoke of that we actually give in to temptation are that sin. Although there are numerous reasons, we just touched on that, you know, sometimes we're just unaware of the battle that's going on around us. And sometimes we're just ignorant about the enemy and his goals towards us. And then we're untrained for the battle. You know, we're untrained for the battle. And we also allow Satan to take a foothold in our lives. And, you know, just to say, you know, I deserve to have a good time, or I just want to let my hair down for the day. So we allow Satan to have a foothold. And once that foothold is feeling good to your flesh, what we don't see is that foothold was intended to be a stronghold. And before we know it, we're locked up and captured in this stronghold, and we're wondering, what happened? What time did I make that was incorrect? How did I get in this position? And it all starts with just a foothold into the devil's playground. And so we wanted to talk tonight just about the privileges of knowing God and just knowing God, as our Father, our Abba Father, our Father. And for those of you all who have a loving Father in your life and that you've always adored and looked up to, you know, I want you to compare that love and think about that love. And then just see if you can found by multiplying that by the highest number that we even think is possible, you know? And then for those of us who did not have that father figure in our life, you know, maybe you longed for that father. Maybe you saw someone else that had a father that was around that did the things for them that you wished and longed that your father could have been there to do. But you know what? Let's think about that. Let's just meditate then on what you imagine your father would be and multiply that. Because a lot of times, God will move all of the dead weight, all of the dead beats out of your way because he said you are too important to have someone stand in your life and mess it up. He said, so I will move them out of the way. Yeah, little ones may not understand it right now, but one day as long as they're following me and searching my word, they'll find me, and then they'll find the answers that I am that father that you're longing for. Yeah, the physical person that you see before you may have done nothing for you. They may not even came around, even after you wanted them to. But understand that just like an adopted child, you know, natural birth, they kind of stuck with the baby. But when someone is adopted, wow, that is so special that someone actually chose to be in your life. They chose to give you all that they have. Hallelujah. Adoption, that is a special thing. So Amy, what does he do? He tries to turn that around. And so he will tell the adopted child, oh, you're kind of less than the others. And in actuality, you're just one of the most special beings. Because look what it has happened. Someone selected you. No one selected me. my mom had me, and she said, this is not my child. I got, you know, it's my duty to take care of this child and raise this child and do right by this child and lead her towards the Lord. But someone selected you as an adoptive child and said, I choose to be with you. See, God may have moved some of those parents out of the way because they didn't have it exactly. They just need, he just used them to give birth. And he said, now this child right here is special. I have a special anointing on this child. And so I'm going to have to move you all out of the way. And I'm going to place someone else there to give this child the best opportunities, the best things that they need out of life. And that's the same with fathers. They'll move that deadbeat out of the way just to make sure that he's there. That he's the one that you can lean on. That he's the one you can trust on. God wants people to know him. You know, we get in a situation sometimes that we just think that God is some person that's just unreachable, untouchable, unspeakable. You can't speak to him. You can't relate to him. But he is relatable. If he had wanted it to be in a situation where he's up high and he just looks down and points his finger at you and you're never going to be good enough, you know, he would not have inspired the writing of a multi-author book about himself. He wants you to know him. He wants us to get to know his thoughts, how he thinks. Hallelujah. Sometimes he did write the book. I'm becoming devoted followers and friends of the Creator. It requires us to dive deep into the Scriptures to get to know who our Father really is. You know, first we learn about God from his Word. And then in reading the Bible, we get all of these facts together about his character. We learn facts about his principles. And we find ways of operating the way that he operates. And we can start to now live. We should be, anyway, starting to make sure that we are taking advantage of what we're learning from the Bible. The deeper we dive into the Scriptures, the more when we come up for air, wow, what a revelation we should have. And we should be walking a little differently. And we should be talking a little differently. You know, we should start to do things even in our homes that are different. It'll make you change things around. It'll make you go through your home and take down some pictures that you've been having up for years to be like, oh, maybe this is not right. Maybe I don't, this doesn't feel good anymore, you know? Maybe this Buddha statue that I thought was just so cute at one time, maybe that's not what I want anymore. Maybe this. It'll make you just change your lifestyle. It'll make you change the way that you used to dress. And it was at the time the way that you dress. But it'll make you stop and look at you, you know what, I don't have a desire to show that much of my body anymore. It's just more conservative for me. That's just the new me, I guess. That's what happens. Change. Change in behavior. Change in the way that you act. That's your behavior. Those things happen when you dive deeply into the Scriptures. So we start to learn about his character and, again, the principles of how he operates. But unfortunately, many times, churches are full of many men and women who stop right there at that step. They know much about religion, but haven't developed their faith. See, God doesn't want us to just stop. And that's why I mention all the time that it is so many incidents that we get so wrapped up in, okay, I've been in the church for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. But have you really grown? Have you done anything different? Can we see your growth? Or are you still that little seed that was sown 50 years ago? And that little seed is still trying to break ground? Or have you blossomed? Have you turned into your apple tree yet? Are you producing good fruit? Or have you just stopped right there at religion? And you haven't developed your faith? So it's a privilege of knowing God. Growth is one of the privileges of knowing God. And then the second step is to meditate on Scripture. You can meditate on Scripture by thinking about God's Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to intercept for us. He also comes in and he's on our side. The Holy Spirit is there working for us. He interprets things. He will even speak for us when we don't have words to say. The Holy Spirit is there to help us if we allow the Holy Spirit to do his job. So again, the second step is just to meditate on the Scriptures. Just thinking about God's Word. You know, idle mind is the devil's workshop. So why not take the word that you read and then just meditate on it a little bit? Think about those Scriptures. Just think how that is. God, how are you thinking? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just love you. Just flowing away sometime and just let everything get in my life. No, be non-existent for a while. And let me just meditate on the Scriptures. Let me just talk to God about your thoughts and what were you thinking, God? Explain this more clearly to me. Reveal to me what you're really saying, because I want to know. Remember, we can't just read the Scriptures. We need to understand the Scriptures. Hallelujah. So the only way to rightly understand this divinely inspired text is with the Spirit's guidance. God is Spirit. So with the guidance of the Spirit gets us in position to truly understand this inspired text so that we can start to make that change in our behavior. And finally, we must apply what we learn. You know, there's no need of reading that and getting the true understanding of that and then just dropping that seed and somebody come and knock it over or kick it over to the grass, or you forget about where it's at. But no, no, no. If you invest yourself in something, and then the payout, you don't want to just throw it down. You want to apply it to something. It should show. So suppose you read that God is a very present help in times of troubles. Psalms 46:1. Then when trouble shows up, you will rely on him for aid. So if you know that he's a very pleasant help in your times of troubles, why are you running to the bar every time something of trouble's coming your way? Why are you running out and doing all of the wrong things and finding comfort in other people's arms and betraying your family? Why are you going outside of the church and living lives that are unfit for your calling? Why is all that coming to you? Why are you falling into those temptations so easily of sin? If you know the Lord, you will know the Lord. If you know that he is a very present help. He's right there. You don't have to look for him. He's present right now in the midst of your troubles. That he's a very present help in your times of troubles. You should rely on him for your aid. Rely on him to be what he's saying he's going to be. And when he answers, and he will answer, although not always as you expect the answer to be, but he will answer. And you'll learn something about God when he answers. He'll help you by responding to your trust and your dependence with a custom-made solution to your problem. To your problem. Custom-made just for you. Of the way that he knows that you're going to receive it. The way that he knows he needs to respond to you. I frequently encourage believers to read the Bible. But by that, I do not mean for anyone to just skim its pages, you know, and just walk along with only facts. The Scripture is a living document. It's a living document. And it tells you how to practice faith in daily life. It's a living word. so often I just feel like we just feel like it's just dead words. It's just words from the past. It's just words that's just there for certain people. But, you know, I don't need that. Maybe the drug addict needs that word. I don't need that. But everyone needs the word. It is for each and every one of us. The scriptures is a living document. And it tells you how to practice faith in daily life. But you must do what it says. You must do what it says. Remember what we're talking about? We apply what we learn. You've got to do what the word says, what the living scripture says, that living document. Only then can we see God as he truly is, not as what we imagine him to be, not as what the world tells us they think he's going to be, not as what the movies put out, how it is and who he is and how he represents and how he thinks. But he says you don't have to guess. You don't have to rely on the director of some movie to tell you either. He said, I have authored. I've already sent it for you. I have authored a book that tells you my character, that tells you my principles, that tells you my ways of operating. I have inspired the writings of a multi-authored book all about my thoughts, my character, my principles. All you've got to do now with the living documents that you read, practice faith in your daily life by doing what it says. So you will then be able to see God, the true God, for who he truly is. Not some ancient deity that's full of rules, but a vibrant friend who wants to connect with his children daily. Have you connected with the Lord today? Have you spoken to him today? Have you had any communication with him today? Today. Knowing God is our Father. You know, when we hear the word Father, what images come to mind? We spoke at the top of the show about different things, about different images of your fathers. So when we hear the word Father, you may have the image that comes to mind of maybe a couch potato. Or you may have an image of a hard-working person. You may have an image of someone who's very stern or someone who's very enthusiastic. They also may bring to you memories of availability, always available in your life. Or it could be just the opposite. Just the word father to you may come bring up absence, never there, a lonely spot. But I come to remind you that no matter what strengths or no matter what weaknesses our earthly dad may have had, we have a heavenly Father who is perfect. And sometimes we spend a lot of time all caught up in flesh what our earthly dad should have and could have done according to us. Maybe we just didn't know that we had a heavenly Father who loves us enough to even stand there and allow that earthly guy to move out of the way so he could be there for you. So we waste a lot of time condemning, trying to get that earthly guy to just give us something, some sign that he loves us, that he didn't have a bias, that because he wasn't there, you know, you really tore me up. And we spent all of this time trying to blame him and make him feel guilty or make him just turn around and say, I'm sorry, and I wanted to be there, whatever. But we all have a heavenly Father, and he's perfect. Jesus' life provides us with a picture of God as our Father. You see, God as our Father, we see the Savior tenderly holding children, right? We we're looking at the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus, and yet it provides us a picture, a clear picture of God as our Father. So, yeah, we see the Savior tenderly holding children. We see the Savior showing compassion to the undeserving. You know, Christ's word tells us our Heavenly Father who loves people, who listens to the prayers of his children, and who freely offers forgiveness. Have you prayed today? Have you asked for forgiveness of your sins today? Have you repented today of those sins? We have a Father who freely offers forgiveness. We have a Father who listens to the prayers of his children. We have a Heavenly Father who loves you tenderly, who's ready to comfort you, even when the world tells you that you are undeserving of his love. He's there. He loves us. Jesus also reveals that there are two spiritual fathers in this world. It's Jehovah and Satan. Say with me now. Only those who have been spiritually born into God's family may call him Father. I know that there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and people are saying that regardless of if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you deny him and you think that he was just another prophet, and you think that it was somebody else that is the true Messiah, whatever it is, and you say, well, you know, God is a loving God, God is a forgiving God, and there's one thing about it, God is not down to, he's not going to shut his doors or turn the other way, even if you don't acknowledge him. He's going to say, you didn't acknowledge me when you was alive, but know that in the afterworld, here's your chance to get to know me. And there's a lot of people that are fooling themselves. And they're thinking that regardless of what they do on this side, that once this over and this life is over, then they're going to be present with the Lord and they'll be able to live with him in meekness and in eternal joy and bliss forever. It doesn't matter what you did on this side. Many people are teaching that lie. But it's just it's a lie that the enemy is trapping you in. He's trying to steal all of your preciousness, your eternity. He's trying to steal it from you. You better dive deep into these scriptures. And you get what it is. If God didn't want you to ask for forgiveness, why would he tell us that he freely offers forgiveness? See, Jesus again revealed about the two fathers on this in this world. Only those who have been spiritually born into God's family may call him Father. This rebirth that I'm talking about is in John 3:3, and it takes place when a person accepts Jesus' sacrifice for his or her own sin. That's the rebirth that I'm speaking about. And then those who reject Christ, the only way to God, consequently choose the devil as their spiritual and father. They say, you know, I just don't believe that I have to have one God. So in actuality, what you're doing then is you're choosing the devil as your spiritual father. They have believed the Father of lies. They choose to believe the Father of darkness. And they rejected the one true God as revealed in the person of Jesus. You know, Satan came to steal everything that you have. Every gift that God offers to you, he came to steal it away from you. You work hard in life, trying to get ahead, trying to do the right thing. And then you're going to just allow him to come and steal it from you? See, that thief came to your house. You put up bars. You pay money for alarms. You do all of these things trying to keep the thief out. But allow your heart to just be corrupt
And you allow him to come and just rule and abide in your life, and you don't even say anything other than this is my life, and I only have one life to live, and I just want to have some fun, and I deserve to have this. All of this, I. And every time you get anything extra, it goes on you. And you're not interested in helping no one else. And your heart doesn't feel anything when you hear that someone lost their job. Your heart doesn't feel anything when you have to fire someone. You feel joy. You don't feel any kind of remorse when you find out that that person is homeless. It doesn't bother you at all. Again, consequently, you have chosen the devil as your spiritual father. You have chosen to believe the father of lies. You have chosen to reject the one true God as revealed in the person of Jesus. But again, I come to remind you, Satan came to steal and to kill. Don't get it twisted. He ain't trying to give you life, eternal life. He don't have it to give. He can't find it. He can't buy it. He doesn't have joy to give to you. Anything he has is just a reflection of a mirror that he's reflected off of God's joy. And he just lets you see through the reflection of God's joy. It's not his. It's not his peace. He doesn't have any peace to give you, man. He comes to kill you, to steal your joy. Anything that you have that God has given to you, he comes to steal it from you. That means your kids, your health, your strength, your knowledge. And then he just wants to destroy everything that comes out of your mouth, everything that comes out of your heart that is of goodness, everything that's on your job that you try to do for someone. He comes to destroy that thing, your generations of family. He comes to destroy it. But now let's talk about what Jesus came for. But precious Jesus came that we might have new life, regardless of how much we messed up, so we can repent of our sin. He said he freely offers forgiveness if we believe it in our hearts. He said we can call him our Abba Father if we have accepted him in our hearts. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. Don't tell me there's no more good news. This is the good news. Hallelujah. He said, I come that we might have new life and be reconciled to God the Father. You see, God is aware of every need that we have. And he has promised to provide his best for us. He said, I don't see that happening in my life. Get in touch with me. Let's talk about it. Let's see what's going on and where we're missing a step to get ourselves right with God. Because his promises will never go back. They are never come back void. He's promised to provide his best for us. He delights in giving good gifts to his children. And he doesn't hold our mistakes against us. That's very important. I know your family might. I know the ones that said that they would be there with you through the end. They still may hold your mistakes against you. I know that job will not even give you the doubt to hire you because they're holding your mistakes against you. But Jesus said that. He said that our Father will not hold our mistakes against us. So with him we can find intimacy. In him we can find security and satisfaction. Oh, children of God, how well do you know your Father? How well do you know your Father? Hallelujah. If you have never met Jesus Christ, or maybe you've just never accepted him or invited him to come live inside of you, I invite you now to just take a moment. Take a moment and let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come live inside of you. to come be your Lord and Savior, to come lead you and guide you every step of the way. Amen? Just repeat after me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Dear God, I believe that you are the creator of all things. I believe that you loved me enough that you, by example, gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave his life for me, for my sin. I ask you to come and cleanse my heart of all of my sins. Make me a new creature in you right now. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. And I invite you to come live inside of me and be my Lord and Savior forever and evermore. Amen. Amen. And if you just prayed that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. And all of those old things that you've been praying about, and you've been saying, I can't wait to stop. I one day got to stop doing these things. You know, they are things of your past now. Start looking at them in past tense. Even though that they try to represent themselves as still present in your life, speak to those things as though they are in the past. Amen? Start speaking from your spirit and let your flesh just kind of fall back, okay? You are a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things are new. It's important that you let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. You need a prayer partner with you. You need to make sure that you are being led to the right church that God has for you. Somewhere that you can have a shepherd and you as the sheep, someone that can explain the scriptures, someone that can pray for you when you're up and when you're down, someone that will always be there for you, someone that just won't turn around and leave you out here amongst all of the wolves. You need a family. You need a family. You need someone that's going to be there for you, be there with you. If there's anything that we can do here at the ministry, you can contact us at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, it's walkwithmegod@aol.com. Well, this is your host, Minister Vaughn Dumas, and I broadcast live from San Antonio, Texas. And I'm just saying, just be the best that you can be. Don't give up on you. Make a choice today that you're going to get to know your Father. You know what else to look at? And on self-exam tonight, as you're looking and talking to yourself tonight, ask yourself, who am I serving? Who have I chose to serve? Am I serving a Father who came to give me life and give it to me more abundantly? Am I serving a God who is there to steal, kill, and destroy me? Who am I serving? Just be honest with yourself. Even if you're not at the place where you're ready to drop the sinning that you're doing or turn from those wicked ways, be acknowledged to yourself who you're serving, the choices that you have made. But remember, the choices you made is not just being, it's not just touching your life, but all of those around you are going to be affected by your choices. He says, I'm not going to be affected by my choices. Just watch any other thing that you do, too. It affects people around you. Whether you have kids or not, anyone that's in your circle is affected about the way the things that you do, your behaviors. Amen? Just watch your life. And watch the light that you're shining and see which direction it's shining on. See who's following behind that dim light or behind that devilish light that you're shining. See whose attention are you getting. Well, you do that. In the meantime, will you continue to pray for me? Will you continue to pray for my family? Continue to pray for the ministry? And in return, I will pray for you. Any special prayer requests, send them to the Walk With Me God at AOL.com or leave a message in the blog radio show. Well, that's that for today. We'll do this again tomorrow. How about that? All right. Well, I love you and God loves you more. Bye-bye.